Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show and hit subscribe. And after the show is air live on WKOK, we drop them right to your smartphone or tablet so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you can also access 3 months of shows on our website at stevejonesshow.com. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com if you want to drop us a line. We're also on Facebook. Give us a like. We're on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And, of course, we mentioned stevejonesshow.com, the website. Steve's in the Sunbury Motors studio soon. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Do some spring cleaning with your insurance policy. Are you sure you're completely covered when life happens? Well, you want to make sure you got the right people in your corner when life happens, and that's why you turn to the pros at Purdy Insurance. They'll put together a customized policy, fit your needs, fit your budget, and they only deal with the products and brands that are the most reputable, the ones that you can count on, the ones that get the highest rankings and ratings of customer service and satisfaction. So they'll go to bat for you. Purdy Insurance, pay them a visit, Market Street, Sunbury, and go to purdyinsurance.com. Of course, we are looking forward to the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCAs in Sunbury and Milton coming up on May the 8th. We will have something special the evening before, and we will have more information on that as we get closer to it. All right, so did you fill out a bracket today? Yeah, 68 teams ready to go for the NCAA men's tournament. You'll have 4 play-in games, 2 tomorrow, 2 on Wednesday, including St. John's, Arizona State. Look forward to that game coming up on Wednesday night. Hey, speaking of the tournament, congratulations to the Bucknell women's basketball team. They won the Patriot League championship yesterday at Soyka Pavilion, defeating American. We will find out tonight after 7 is the NCAA Women's Tournament selection show. That'll air live on ESPN. We'll get all the specifics on Bucknell's round one opponent, who that is, where it'll be, and when it'll be. So we will find out a little over 4 hours from now. Also, congratulations to Penn State men's ice hockey with a very convincing win, 5-1 over Ohio State over the weekend in the Big Ten tournament semifinals. Penn State improves to 10-5 all-time in the conference tournament. They have advanced to their second championship in the last 3 seasons. They'll be taking on Notre Dame this Saturday. Puck will drop at 8 p.m. Saturday at Notre Dame. I believe BTN will have live coverage of that on Saturday night. Talk more hockey with Ben Jones from statecollege.com, Penn State hockey and football writer. Also get Ben's take on spring football at Penn State, which started less than a week ago. Also, speaking of Penn State, Steve's broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, got him lined up later on in the show, and also Ben Kirschival, college football writer and also beat writer for CBSSports.com when it comes to the brand new Alliance of American Football that has been underway for close to a month and a half now. So we'll get Ben's take on how the season has gone so far. It's now at about the halfway point, a little more than the halfway point toward the championship game of the AAF coming up at the end of April. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals have long been one of the most change-averse organizations in the NFL. Leadership in place in Cincinnati was the same for a very long time. Lack of change extended to the coaching ranks, where the Bengals kept Marvin Lewis there for 16 seasons, despite the fact he made the playoffs 7 times and went 0-7. Well, the Bengals finally did make a change in the offseason. They fired Lewis, and they hired former Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor to replace Lewis. And along with that comes another. The Cincinnati Bengals have cut controversial linebacker Vontaze Burfict. According to a report from ESPN earlier this afternoon, Burfict has been an excellent player during his time in the league, but much better for his dirty play than his abilities. Including the helmet-to-helmet hit on Antonio Brown during a 2016 playoff game against the Steelers. That played a part in the league's decision to suspend Vontaze Burfict for the first 3 games of the next season after that. He also was accused of dirty hits against Baltimore Ravens tight end Max Williams, former New England Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett, and former New England Patriots running back LeGarrette Blount. And then there was also a dirty hit against a Kansas City player during the 2017 season, and accusations by the Steelers last season that he appeared to kick fullback Roosevelt Nix in the head during a game. So, Vontaze Burfict out in Cincinnati.
And it means he's available to be signed by the Steelers.
Welcome to a Comedy Monday on WKOK.
It's a position of need. Okay, just so you know.
Yeah, we already signed a linebacker yesterday, so we're good.
Well, you signed a hybrid.
Yeah, true. He probably had his worst stats as a pro. I think Mark Barron, former Ram. I believe he may have only had, what, 5 or 7 sacks in the last 5 years, something like that. Right. So it's not like he's lighting up the stat sheet.
Yeah.
But I would think they will still, either first or second round pick, I think they would still take an inside linebacker somewhere there.
Or they could sign Vontaze Burfict.
The hits keep on
coming. Just watching you and El Cideroni change your name. Hey, we got Burfict. It's a big play. You know what?
Oh, you should have heard him earlier today down the hall. He was ready to change his allegiance, change teams yesterday.
I know he kicked Le'Veon Bell of the Jets in the head, but you know what? That's our guy. I can hear it now. And exactly which team was he switching his allegiance to?
Did not say that, though.
Well, you have to have an alternative, don't you?
I guess he's going to have tryouts, I guess.
Tryouts for what? Okay, look, we don't want to let alone know the team.
Didn't go so far as to say which his new team would be. So he's all in right now on the San Diego Fleet in the Alliance of American Football.
They lost last night. Come on. They lost last night.
He said to me, he goes, "Yeah, I'm really disappointed in you." And I go, "Well, if I want that tone, I don't have to leave my driveway." But where are you getting at? He goes, "You have not watched hardly any of the Alliance of American Football. I'm absolutely ashamed of you." And I said, I said to him, "It's like, well, it's, I'd love to. It's not because it's a bad product. It's been a good product so far. It's not been, you know, ripped to shreds by a lot of people. I mean, the quality, I think, is not all that bad. I know Ben Kirschival will, I know you had a chance to talk to him, will get the latest on what's happening in the AAF because we're just a little over a month away from their first championship game. They got Johnny Manziel. I don't know if I'd call it the face of the league, but... but Memphis needed a quarterback, so...
Yeah.
They were running out of options, so... Which stinks. because we were really rooting for Christian to get things turned around.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then I said to him, hey, did our former colleague Sarah Bartlett, did she ever send you that San Diego Flea the Hat that you've been begging for weeks? And he's like, no.
So she's probably so no words.
She's,
so no
words. Sarah's busy out there.
So Sarah's got finally seen the light.
Well, no, she did a long time ago.
Suit, eye roll. Suit, eye roll. All right, the NCAA tournament. Now we're going to have Dick Girardi on today as one of our guests. I think we're going to have David Greenberg from the Washington Post on, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We have a lot going on. We'll save Ben Kirschvel for later in the week. That's timeless, don't you think? I think Ben's timeless.
He is. He's been awesome.
But,
yeah. Well, every time he joins us.
He's a great guest. But we'll have Ben on later in the week. We got Neil tomorrow. We'll talk about the NFL with Neil and where everything stands with the Steelers. I believe contemplating a 5-year guaranteed contract with Vontaze Perfect. He kicked Le'Veon Bell in the head. Good! If it had happened a year ago, bad! You gotta love the Steeler fans. The second they put on your jersey, they're your guy. The second they leave the jersey, scum. They have abandoned an entire city. Ben hasn't. You still have Ben.
We do.
The NCAA tournament, I don't have many misgivings about what the tournament committee did. I'll start at the bottom. I'm sorry, St. John should not be in. You don't lose by 30 points on your own floor, on your home floor in the tournament. You don't lose by 30 points and get in. My problem is I don't know if I have a great alternative to them, maybe NC State. NC State pretty much beat up on the bottom part of the ACC with the exception of Georgia Tech. Their strength of schedule is not great. But St. John's, the rules state you play defense, and so that's the only reason St. John's attempts to line up that way. And then there's Michigan State. They obviously didn't put much stock in the conference tournaments, you can tell. My issue with Michigan State is twofold. A, what does Michigan State not have in common with the four number one seeds? Virginia, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Duke. Well, what they don't have in common is this. Michigan State's the only one of the five to win both its regular season and tournament championship. The others have one or the other, and in some cases, none. I mean, Virginia won regular season. Duke won the tournament championship. Gonzaga won the regular season, but St. Mary's won the tournament championship. Michigan State won both. So that would be an argument there. Number two, when you sit there and you put Michigan State into the field as the fifth overall seed, which is where they are, why are they playing the number one overall seed, Duke, in the Elite Eight as a bracket? That makes no sense. I mean, Michigan actually won by losing. Michigan's the number two seed, and they avoid Duke. So they lost the game and they made out. Michigan State won the game and got into the same bracket with Duke. Huh? Michigan State should have been in the same bracket with Gonzaga. That would make more sense to me. And I don't want to hear about distance. The distance from East Lansing to Washington is 591 miles. The difference from East Lansing to Kansas City is 711 miles. So if you're saying, oh, no, well, this more regionalizes it, that's a difference of 120 miles. Okay, that's the distance from Harrisburg to Williamsport. So that part made no sense to me. Other than that, I don't really have any qualms with what I saw in the tournament. I'm also getting sick of the Dick Vitale. You got to take care of the little guy, the little guy, the little guy. This tournament's populated with little guy. Everywhere you turn, the tournament's populated with little guy.
How about, about Belmont? That's going to be a great play-in game.
Yeah, well, but it's not just Belmont. It's everybody. Colgate?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, look, this whole tournament's populated with little guy.
No, he says the same thing. He says the same thing every year.
Yeah, you know, like Lipscomb and so forth. Here's a recommendation to Lipscomb. Win your tournament. Let's try that on. See how it goes. You want to get in, show what you're made of, show you can win your tournament. That's fine. But, you know, all this talk about the little guy, I'm sorry. That's what this tournament is made up with, a decent percentage of little guy. That's what makes this tournament up. Let's see here. You wanted to talk about little guy? Okay, your problem with the tournament is not the fact that somebody like Ohio State's in. Your problem with the tournament is Fairleigh Dickinson's in. Okay, they're taking up your spot. Little guy? I don't know. North Dakota State? North Carolina? Central? Little guy. Liberty? Let's see. Yale? Fairleigh Dickinson? Prairie View A&M? Murray State? Vermont? Let's see. Montana? Abilene Christian? Wofford? Northeastern? Colgate, Old Dominion, UC Irvine, Gardner-Webb, right? Excuse me, the little guy's all over the map on this thing. The little guy? Come on. You have to be kidding me. I didn't even mention Belmont. The little guy. Iona. Dick Vitale. I mean, read the bracket, Dick. When you read it, I see a lot of little guy here. I mean, Loyola Chicago. Last year. Sister Jean, all the rage. Not exactly a basketball factory at Loyola Chicago, despite the fact, of course, they were in the Final Four in 1960. Does that sound right? But that's what this is about. I mean, mid-majors? Okay, mid-majors. Belmont's a mid-major. Bradley's a mid-major. UCF's a mid-major. Old Dominion's probably a mid-major. Who else in here? Nevada's a mid-major. Utah State's a mid-major. Oh, little guy, Northern Kentucky's in the little guy category. Buffalo's a mid-major. Hey, come on. Murray State's a mid-major. Come on.
That's what makes this event fun, just to see which team will be this year's
right.
Loyola Chicago.
Right, yeah,
Georgia State? We mentioned
I didn't mention Georgia State.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
This bracket is populated with those people.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, I'm glad they're in. That's what helps make the tournament special, fun. These teams can show that on a given night they can beat somebody else. Now, you have them. Are any of them capable of six given nights? No. But on a given night they can beat somebody else. And every year, oh, the little guy. It's like, oh, the mid-major. Well, what do you think New Mexico State is? But I'm sorry. After a while, I hear this lament over and over again. And the door would be open to Lipscomb and some of the other teams he's talking about if you weren't giving out automatic bids already to mid-majors and little guys. Simple as that.
I know I shouldn't be slinging around double negatives on the show, but you know, we can't say it can't happen or never will happen since we've already seen a 16 beat a 1.
Well, obviously, yeah, obviously it can happen. Look at what the UMBC did last year. Who knows? An Abilene Christian could maybe beat a Kentucky, or maybe a, let's see, Iona could beat North Carolina. Well, maybe not. But it's not like it's not impossible. But that's why I'm getting a little sick and tired of the little guy argument all the time. This tournament is loaded with the little guy. Loaded with it. It has to be recognized. The problem that, for example, like a Lipscomb has, we're using them as an example, is not that Ohio State's in. Because if Ohio State's playing Lipscomb, I can tell you right now, Ohio State is a favorite on a neutral court by probably 5 or 6 points, if not more. The problem they have is that Northern Kentucky's in the tournament with an automatic bid as opposed to them. It wasn't like Lipscomb didn't have his opportunity. They had it sitting right there to win to get in. Guess what? They didn't win it. That's why they end up being, and Lipscomb ends up being, I think, a 4 or 5 in the NIT, so they weren't one of the 4 number one seeds. They were not close to getting in. All right, we'll take a break. Bottom of the hour, it's news next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Interesting. It hasn't happened yet. But Tim Miles at Nebraska, I know when I've been around him, I like him. And I also like the job he's done as a coach. The answer that was given Saturday about his status was that, if we make postseason play, then we'll make a decision after that. Well, Nebraska's going to go to the NIT as a 4 seed. Okay. But whenever the answer is that, you feel like the coach is on his path to being removed. And I don't quite know what they expect at Nebraska. Let's look at the fertile Nebraska basketball recruiting ground from North Platte to Humboldt. I'm sorry. There's nothing but walk-ons in that state. So you have to go outside, which means you don't have a natural recruiting area, which means what Tim did by going after a lot of transfers, and he made them relevant. Now, exactly who's going to make Nebraska basketball relevant? Tyronn Lue? Ooh. He's made them relevant. He's had to go about it a difficult way. You know, he did recruit as a four-year player, Glenn Watson. He did recruit as a four-year player who's finishing up his third year now at Isaiah Roby, and many people think he'll opt for the draft. And Roby's a good-looking prospect. But you have to know who you are. Too many people have an inflated image of who they are as a program. You have to know who you are and the obstacles that you face. And then I look at a guy like Tim Miles, I give him credit. I think he's... They have a great situation with the new arena. Now, the city built the arena. It's a great situation with the arena. They sell out every game, so they have a great home court advantage. But they don't have what you call a natural... What's their natural recruiting area? Going to go out and mine all the talent out of North Platte? Really? I mean, he's had to scrounge and go wherever you want. You know, some of the tougher jobs in Power 5, Nebraska's one of them, I think. I've always told everybody, I think the two toughest jobs in Power 5 basketball are Washington State and Penn State. That's why I give Tony Bennett all the credit in the world. He did a great job at Washington State. Ernie Ken, who did a great job, who won at Oregon. I don't know if he's a great job or not. We can debate that part. But he won at Oregon. Has not been able to win at Washington State. It's just a hard place to win. I've said for years the two hardest jobs in Power 5 or in basketball are Washington State and Penn State. Like Kansas is great in basketball. Kansas is, to me, one of the toughest, if not the toughest job in Power 5 football. It's the way it is. You have to literally outwork everybody to get yourself in a position of relevancy. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Let's get to the tournament. Ben, thanks so much. Always great to have you with us.
I'm doing great for having me.
Ben, let's start with the bracket. Any complaints looking at what the committee did?
No, I mean, I think you can always make that Michigan State argument. You know, I've seen other people do that as well, but I think, you know, it's hard to argue with Duke. It's hard to argue against Gonzaga, and those are, you know, teams that you've got to find far. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, how does Tennessee do? They've been a team that's played well all year and are sort of built for this moment. So, you know, I think there's always those complaints you can make at any given bracket, but I think ultimately, you know, it sort of shakes out at the end. Michigan State's maybe got an argument to be a little bit in a different part of the world, but at the end of the day, if you're good enough to win, you're good enough to win, and Tom Izzo is certainly good enough to take care of it regardless of where they are.
Right, and now it's just a question of path. I mean, that's what, to me, that's what, when the bracket comes out, okay, what's your path along the way? The only problem I have for Michigan State is this. I think it's wrong that when you're the 5 overall seed, which is what they are, they shouldn't be playing 1 in the Elite Eight. I mean, 1 should be playing 8 in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and it's exactly right. You look at, you know, we talked about this with Penn State in the Big Ten tournament, that their path looked sort of favorable. And if you're Michigan State, you go, you know, this is not a very fortunate draw for them. And it really does. So often we've seen those regionals that, you know, are sort of the regions of death. And it doesn't matter who you are, you've just got a tough ask. And I think if you're Michigan State, you kind of go, you know, it doesn't seem incredibly fair, especially considering they had such a successful year.
All right, let's go to the bottom now. Any complaints at the bottom?
No, I mean, I think it all kind of shakes out well in the end. You know, I think, you know, it's the bottom, for whatever reason over the years, the bottom of the bracket, the part that I always get the right. But, you know, you look at it this year, and I think there's a lot of different ways you can go. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. But, you know, again, you know, it's hard to pick you know, against some of these teams that are down there that have played well all year. Those are usually the ones that shake out, right?
Yeah, some people will talk about the little guy. This tournament is populated with a lot of little guys along the way. I mean, Yale's in. Prairie View A&M's in. Last time I checked, not at the top of the food chain in the history of college basketball. But Belmont got in. And that was the selection I didn't like, because I think the Belmont team I watched in December looked like even better when I watched them the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, I think a lot of what they did made sense to me along the way.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about Belmont. Belmont seems like it's one of those teams that's always in the tournament and then hits, you know, a bunch of threes and puts itself in a game there. So I think, you know, that's really the part of the, you know, the bracket that makes everything so much fun, is especially when you get a lot of these smaller schools are not as brand name teams in there, and you start to get those runs, you start to get those Florida Gulf Coast kind of things. You know, that's the fun part. As much as everyone wants to see, you know, Duke North Carolina for a fourth time and everything, you know, I think, you know, and now we're situated in, you know, in a spot where we could see them, you know, meet up down the road, which would be a lot of fun. But at the same time, you know, I think Duke Belmont, and that, you know, if it were to ever get that point, it won't. You know, is sort of the thing that makes March so much fun.
Is there anything, in your opinion, Ben, that they can do to make the regular season more appetizing in November, December, January, instead of really going to a focal point in February into March?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I think, you know, you look at any sport that's got a lot of games and you try and put meaning into the middle part of the season. You know, one of the obvious answers is maybe say play fewer games or something like that, but I don't know if that's necessarily the answer, because I think you've seen a lot of these teams, you know, go through ups and downs, goes through injuries. It's as much about the survival as it is anything else. But there's no doubt, you know, if you're Michigan and you lose to Penn State, you know, it's a big deal for Penn State, and it certainly didn't help Michigan, but it's one of those things that you go, well, we're still going to make the Big Ten tournament and be fine. We're still going to probably make the Big Ten tournament championship game. We're still going to be just fine in March. You know, so that game in and of itself means something to one of those programs, but in the long run doesn't really mean a whole lot. I'm always a fan of doing these cross-conference things. I've said that, you know, that I think the Big Ten ACC, you know, challenge is one of those more enjoyable events of the year. Anytime that you can get something that no one has seen or doesn't see as often, you know, after a while, Ohio State, Michigan just gets a little redundant. You know, just to be able to mix it up would be fun. I don't know how you do that. I don't know if you can do it any more than you already do, especially as conferences expand their own schedules and play earlier and earlier. But certainly, you know, I think there's an argument to be made that the middle of the year doesn't matter all that much to the big marquee teams. But I think if you want people to watch, maybe give them something they haven't seen before.
Yeah, because the SEC plays the Big 12 already. There's the Big 10 ACC challenges, the Gavitt games. So you do have attempts being made to do exactly what you're talking about. How did you feel about the Big Ten expanding to 20 now that you've seen it play out? Because the ACC is going to 20 next year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think ultimately, you know, part of the reason that you play a lot of games and part of the reason that you, you know, have these seasons that are so long is it gives you more and more data points to kind of separate these teams out. And I think you look at the Big Ten this year, which was pretty much, you know, you can make arguments about conference strength and whatnot, but I think, you know, in terms of every game being competitive for the most part on a net average, they were. And I think playing more games gives you more opportunities to kind of get more data about which team's better, which team, you know, deserve to be in the top of those standings. So, I don't have an issue with it. I do think that, you know, like we saw a few years ago when this all started, that there's that sort of, you know, adjustment period where you're playing conference games way, way earlier, and certainly the ACC's kind of got everybody beat now with their opening weekend having some of those. But, you know, I think it's for the better in terms of conference depth and sort of sorting things out, especially if you're the Big Ten or the ACC, where you can kind of argue that, you know, top to bottom, you're probably as deep as anyone, if not deeper.
Okay, so when this all shakes out, who gets to Minneapolis in your mind? I know you probably already sat down and did your bracket.
I actually have not filled my bracket
out
yet. So this is kind of, yeah, I like to kind of ruminate on it a little bit and then do. I find myself doing better when I don't think so hard. So I try and do it like
that's a story.
I wake
that's
up the morning of and do it at like 9 a.m. and then put it down and walk away. I think, you know, you've got to have Gonzaga in there. You've got to have Duke in there. I think Tennessee is a team that can make a run, like I already said. But, you know, and North Carolina's played really well. It's going to be interesting because I think there are a lot of teams. There are years where you go, it's obvious that this team is that good. You know, Duke, I think, is that good and is that team to beat. But we've seen this year that certainly you can hang with Duke. You know, Florida State, you know, kind of made a comeback late in that game to make it a little bit more interesting, even if that final score was sort of lopsided. So, you know, we've seen it time and time again. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night, but I think, you know, you look at Gonzaga, you look at Duke, you look at Tennessee, those are teams that, you know, have got a chance to make a pretty deep run.
Right. And by the way, that's always been the key to the show. I don't think at all. and there are a lot of people that will vouch for that. anything that you looked at right away and said, you know what, that's an interesting matchup. That could be a surprise.
You know, I always like the 7-10s. Those are always sort of the fun ones that you can never really tell. You know, I'm a big, for whatever reason, I'm glad you brought Belmont up because I always like rooting for Belmont.
Right.
But, you know, it's not trying to overthink things. I think, you know, going chalk is always sort of the smart way to go. It usually works out that way, but you're not going to do that at 9 a.m. on Thursday morning or Wednesday, depending on if I do those play-ins and find myself, you know, overthinking it and trying to pick stuff that doesn't make sense in my head. But, you know, that's the great part about March, because you get to be angry one weekend out of the year about how smart you think you are and then how dumb you end up being.
Look, in the end, we're all guessing. Hey, I mean, if you go out and you pick it by the team, by the colors of the school, you might do just as well. It's like picking the Kentucky Derby. I like the Silks. There you go. Same thing. Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, Dick Girardi, next half hour as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. They'll manage your insurance needs, get you the best insurance, the best price possible, and if there's ever a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They go right to work for you because the customer means everything to them. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Not enamored with St. John's being in the field, but, I mean, do I have a suitable replacement? Maybe NC State, maybe. I think the Big Ten teams were all seeded properly with the exception of Michigan State. I think with the combination of winning a very tough conference in the regular season, they were tied, obviously, for first place with Purdue, and then winning the tournament title, I think it means something. But again, because the Big Ten tournament championship game is so late in the process, it may not matter. But it's not just Michigan State being on the two seed. All right, I think Tom Izzo's fine on the two line if they weren't in the same bracket opposite Duke. That's a problem. And what makes it more of a problem is when you actually know what the curve is, Michigan State's actually the number 5 seed in the tournament.
It just makes you wonder, closed door, what Tom Izzo was thinking. Yeah, we don't mind going to Anaheim. That's no big deal. there's such a geographical tilt on this every single year. You know, like with Duke, every single year they keep them in the East bracket.
Well, I think part of this is them trying to, you know, for crowds, get people to go to games because it's an easier trip.
Yeah, like last year with Michigan State playing in Detroit when they played Bucknell there in the opening round.
Right, exactly. Now, Michigan State didn't get out of there. I mean, they lost in Detroit. Now, that's the pod part of it. It's this the regional part, which is in D.C., which is next. See, having the one play the five doesn't make any sense. One should be playing eight. You know, I'm talking about if all things considered, everything holds,
and a 1 versus a 2, well, the first overall seed, Duke, should be playing the 8th overall seed, not the 5th overall seed, and that's what Michigan State is. They're the 5th overall seed in the tournament. That's the problem I have with what they did with Michigan State more than anything. One line, or if you're going to be on the 2 line, you don't put them on the 2 line opposite the number 1 overall seed if you're the 5th overall seed. That's the problem I've got with what they did with them. But I don't have many other qualms with what the committee did.
And kudos, too, to CBS when they presented it last night. It was just laying out the brackets for the first 35-ish minutes. No fanfare, no in-studio audience, no lining up the teams in alphabetical order, none of that stuff. Just back to the basics.
Right.
Just dish out the brackets and the matchups, and they had their highest ratings in like 4 or 5 years.
Right. No, they did it right. They just sat there and just knocked them out. And that's all anybody cares about when it comes to the brackets. You can't turn the bracket deal into a show. It's not a show. It's a bracket reveal. So reveal the brackets, because people want to know who's in, who's out, what the matchups are, where the matchups are going to be, and what the path is for either their favorite team or somebody else on the journey. Ken Pomeroy is going to join us on the show tomorrow, by the way. Get the Ken Pom take on what's going on with the tournament. And by the way, when you look at the Ken Pom tournament, his highest ranked team not in is Clemson at 29. Next is Texas at 30. NC State at 33. Nebraska at 39. And Penn State at 40. It's the fifth highest team not in the tournament. They're not in any tournament. By the way, Lipscomb, strength of schedule. NC State 59, Clemson 34, Texas 14, Nebraska 5, Penn State 6.